Okay. All right, Rabotai. So what I want to do today is try to expand a little bit on the Hakira that we began to flirt with yesterday about Shibud Rav Nachman. Ultimately, Pshat and Tosis, I'm not going to try to resolve completely right now. Maybe tomorrow we'll probably put it all together. But just to understand the Hakira, the implications of this in terms of the Chiddush of the Ksos, which I think is quite radical, at least as far as to the extent that he takes it. And what the benefit is in terms of trying to at least understand part of Tosis, but putting Tosis back together again is not for today. It's going to be still another day to struggle with. Just to identify the problem of Tosis without resolving it, I have to have a little more patience. I'm still working on it. But, you know, the issues at stake obviously are very relevant in terms of understanding what Shibud Rav Nachman is, how does it work. Just to get our bearings again in the cheshbon of the Tosfos and the Gemara. So we have the statement of Rav Nachman that Yisom Shigavu Karka B'chol V'Savian B'chol Choser Gavu Osu Mehen, which is a way of saying that if Yisomim collect a debt owed their father in the form of Karka, then someone who the father owed money to, the B'chol of the father, can now collect the Karka from the Yisomim, even though they only acquired the Karka after the father died. If they would purchase karka of their own money at that point, it would not be surrendered to a bachov of the father. But given the fact that they're collecting the karka from choves aviyam, so it allows the bachov to collect it now. Why that is true? So from reading the Gemara, we understand there are two ways to explain why that din is correct. What's the first mahalach in the Kisugya? The Gemara's kasha is predicated on that. Why is this true that they can collect karka from choves aviyam, that the bachov can collect from that karka? In other words, because we view it as if the father had it from the time of the loan, because just as if he collects on a shibud, it's as if from a fehu gova, so it is with the children, the yisomim, and therefore it was always by the father, therefore it's meshubit to the bachov mechayim, therefore he can collect it now. The Gemara uses that as a kasha on Rava, who holds mekanal habu gova, so the Gemara gives a teretz that really the understanding could be different. And yet Rav Nachman's din can still be consistent with Rava because of Shibud Rav Nasim. Shibud Rav Nasim means, if you have, let's identify for the rest of the day and hopefully beyond who's who, we have Ruvain, who lent Shimon money, Shimon lent Levi money. So you have Shimon, who's both a Lova and a Malva. Ruvain is the Malva's Malva. Levi is the Lova's Lova. So Motsiim is Ebenosim Lazeh. We can have money taken directly from Levi and brought to Reuven. Reuven can collect directly from Levi, right? The Rishon is Reuven, the Shlishi is Levi, the Rishon can collect from the Shlishi. So therefore, if you have land that's Meshubad to the father of these Yisomim, and you have someone who the father owed money to, so that land, even earlier, was just as well that was Meshubit to the father, was Meshubit to the Bachov of the father, and therefore he can collect it now after his son got it because they already had a Shibud from before, Shibud the Rav Nas. Comes Tosis with a question that why is this only true by the case that the Yisomim will gabu kaka? Tosis says, the Yimtoma gabi metalti nami neimahachi. Could be, if you want, you can say Gavu Metaltelin, Gavi, it's the same idea. In other words, why only the Kash is not a Nachman? Gavu, Yisom Shig Gavu Karka. So Gavu Metaltelin could be, maybe that should be the word Gavu. Either way, Kash is clear. Gavi Metaltelin, Gavu Metaltelin. Why only Gavu Karka if the Yisomim acquire Metaltelin for Choves Aviyam? Why should we not also allow the Bachov of the father to collect the metaltelin now? And this at first glance is a pella, because the chayra, how could that be? After all, even if the Yisomim inherited metaltelin from the father, the din is metaltelin yasei lo mishtabdi l'bachov. So how can we say with Mishibud Rav Nasan that if the Yisomim collect metaltelin b'chovas aviyan, that the bachov can collect it now, should be no better than Mitalti Diasmi that the father always had and he bequeathed it to the Yisomim. So tell it how to understand Tosis passion. So this is where the Ksos is going to be very helpful, and the Mashar already pointed the direction. But just to get anchored in the Tosis by the totality of the Tosis and to see, you know, what Tosis says in the Teretz, and we pointed out yesterday, and then putting it all together, we'll have to wait. Tosis gives the Teretz. that there's a difference between karka metaltelin in terms of what seems to be the degree of the shibud. And this is how the Ksos quotes it also, it's a shibud that's olim or shibud that's kolish. A shibud of karka, which we know that the person is going to be able to collect, even if the person that owes me will be mamashke in the karka or will sell it, but the karka is still always available for me to collect. That is a stronger shibud. The metaltelin, where the person has the metaltelin, then I have a shibud. If he sells it, then there is no longer a shibud. I can't collect the metaltelin once he passes it on. So therefore, when do we say shibud rav nasan says tosos, if the situation of the shibud that the malva has is a strong shibud, this middle person, the middle malva, right? So if that's a shibud like of karka, then we can say to the extent that he has this kind of a level shibud, it's ki'ilu hu biyado, and not to the extent that it's umafei hu goven, not like a bai, but ki'ilu biyado, it's a strong shibud, so that can be subject to have his malva have a shibud over that. Whereas metaltelin, which is not the same degree of a shibud, it's a weaker shibud, doesn't allow itself to become now meshubud to the other malva, right, the ruvein, shoot through shibud revnas. Those are the words of Tosis Teretz. We noted, just from the way Tosis explained it, we noted just in the Kuda that we should just emphasize, sounds from Tosis, that when a person collects metaltelin, or has the right to collect metaltelin from the assets of a lova, we could also call that a shibud. Even though when he sells it, I can't collect anymore, but it's called shibud. One could have thought that, no, it's a different halacha. When you owe me money, I can collect metaltelin. It's not called mishubud. Just to bring a nafkamina to understand this, yesterday it was just words, conceptually, but just I pointed out to the guys in Sheder earlier, the Tosfos in Erechin, on that example of Agdish Lova that we had in the Gemara earlier. So what does the Gemara say? That everyone agrees, even Rav agrees, if the Lova is Magdish, that which is Meshubad to a Malva, the Malva can still go and collect from Hegdish, Parik, he has to do a token Pidyo. It shouldn't look like Hegdish is going out without Pidyo, but really the Hegdish didn't take effect. As Rashi explains, it's inhibitions. So that din, that's the Gemara quotes that, that's the din of Rav Avoh, Shelo Yomru Hegdish Yotzi Bo Pidyo. So that's an Erech and Dav Chav Gimel. Tosis has a suffix, and Rashi points out, Tosis quotes the Rashi that Rashi has over here as well, that even though we know Hegdish Mafkia Mide Shibud, that's only what type of the Hegdish? Kedushas? Aguf. It says, Damim, the Shibud can now be motzi from the Hegdish, because Hegdish didn't take effect. So we're talking about Kedushas Damim, and the person who has a Shibud can collect from Hegdish with a token pigeon. Says Tosis, what about metaltelin? Is this only true by karka, even by metaltelin? Metaltelin is always just dumb, right? Yes, he owns whatever it is. He owns an object, and he owes money, and these are his assets. He has metaltelin, and he's magdish those assets of metaltelin. This is dumb. Can the malva, when it comes to machira, that's clear. The malva is out of luck. He can't go to lokeach and collect metaltelin. Only when it's by the lover. But if the love is magdish, the metaltelin for kedushas damim, can the love is magdish? Can the malva come and collect it from hegdish with a token pigeon the same way he can do with karka? So Tosis has a suffix here on Chav Gimel Beis, Mishim Derav Avoh. He has a suffix if metaltelin will be the same thing. In Yachol Hegdish in Lo, the Vada Yimachu and Hanecher Mecher, the Lo Yitzul Samalvim Yadul Keach, which is Ein Shibud Hamalve Al Metaltelin, Avu Hegdish Safiku in Yachol Aleyan. Will Hegdish Bichal on Metaltelin that's Meshubud, quote unquote, to the Malve? Tosus concludes by saying there is no difference. Metaltelin will be the same, and the Malve will be able to collect Metaltelin. So it's Venera. The Masnis Mairi Bechol Nichsi, Bein Karki, Bein Metaltali, the Ka'amar Delo Yachla Hegdish, Bein Svichen Pidyon El Mishim Dravavo. So this goes well with what we're saying in our Tosis, the Chora. If you view collecting metaltalin from the Lover within the realm of Shibud, So then you should argue that the same halacha is that he can be motzi from Hegdish with a token pidyon because he has the shibud. If it was just to be a special din that he can collect from what he has when he has it, it's not b'din shibud, then of course it would be only by karka that you would have the right to collect from Hegdish, not metaltu. The truth is that this gets into a whole larger discussion, again, not for us, but not for us right now, which is generally when we talk about shibud, there's a machlokes at the end of Bava Basra. We're learning next year Bava Basra. At the very end, the last couple of dapim, the question whether shibuda de oraisa or shibuda de rabbana, which has to do with the following as expressed in the Gemara. We know that you only say collect a shibud of karka from lukuchos by a milva bishtar, not a milva alpeh. Question is, how do you get to that distinction? Does it start from the premise that midoraisa shibud exists for all havos, even milva alpeh? If the Chachamim removed the shibud from a milveh balpeh because the lukuchos would know about it and we have to protect the lukuchos. So they took away din shibud. Or do we say the other way around? That really, the whole din shibud to begin with was instituted midrabanan and only by milveh bishtar, so people shouldn't be deterred from lending money because they know they can ultimately collect from the shibud. So could also be that this question of whether shibud exists from metaltin, not necessarily muhrach, you could go in both directions, but you have to know, when you think about this question, you can't ignore this other issue. The Gemara discusses it vis-a-vis milva bishtar milva peh by karka. What about metaltin? Does metaltin is subject to shibud? And if so, does it depend or doesn't it depend on the question shibud about shibud abanam? That's as much as I'm going to say about it right now. But just simply having that in the back of your minds, Tosis is mashma, that the Talitlin is called a shibud, but it's not the same level shibud as karka, and therefore it doesn't allow for shibud gravnas. The big challenge in working out Tosis is how to connect part one of Tosis and part two of Tosis. Part one of Tosis, this kasha of Tosis is that we have, let's say by metaltin as well, yisomim double metaltin, let the bachov collect. Karnakasha is that, metaltin dias. Tosis comes with a teretz and says that no, because metaltin is not as strong as shibud, it's not subject to shibud rav nasa. That also requires an explanation, because we know generally shibud rav nasa, we assume is even by metaltin. When we say Reuben can collect from Levi, Motsiyim Mizev Nosim Mizev, even Metaltalin. The biggest proof is what case that we mentioned yesterday that theoretically could have been Shibud Rav Nasan. Hanukkah, right? The Gemara has a miyut. We don't allow Shibud Rav Nasan to go forward by Hanukkah. Hanig Tanik Lo. That the mitzvah, the Hanukkah, the Chiv Hanukkah, the Torah imposes on the Adon toward the Eved Ivri. That Chiv Mamon, you don't pay the Balchov of the Eved Ivri. It's only Lo V'lo Balchov. Since generally you hold like Rav Nassim, says the Torah over here, we don't apply Rav Nassim. The Chiv of Hanukkah is Mitzoncha, Migarnacha, Migvecha, or Metaltalit. So you see that the concept of Nassim would have applied by Metaltalit. And how could Tosus make a statement that sounds like you don't apply to metaltalin? So that's another issue. And the Mashah tries to finesse both of these issues, each in both vis-a-vis the beginning of Tosus, the end of Tosus. But again, how do you put it all together? The Mashah essentially says that in the beginning of Tosus, we're holding that basically the claim is direct from Reuven to Levi. That we'll elaborate on that with the Ksos in a few minutes. And therefore, the metaltalin yasi is not a problem because it never went to the yisomim. It's directly to the malvas malva, to Reuven. When you get to the end of Tosis, the Mashah seems to be shifting gears because he says, basically, the reason why you need the Torah to tell me the chiddush shibud rav nasan is so that Levi can say to Reuven, you can't come to me to collect. Your collection is from Shimon. You want to collect what I owe Shimon? Go to Shimon and get that. Don't come to me. Meaning to say, it's not really about anything more than that. It's just a way that the Torah allows you to go to Levi to collect what Shimon owes you. But not that you're collecting from Levi directly. And that's really now what we're about to present, the two sides of Shibud Rav Nasan. What exactly does it mean? And then the Mashal also brings into the mix that Tosis never meant that in a general case where the middle person is alive, that you can't collect metaltalin. Tosis only meant when Shimon, the middle person, died, and this Yisomim, that's when we don't allow by metaltalin shibud rav nasan. What is this combination here? Manash. Tosis is saying by metaltalin, you don't say shibud rav nasan. So what's the difference if Shimon is alive or not alive? Like, what exactly? That's what we have to try to ultimately come back to. But for now, just want to explore very famous ksos, which he has a chiddush that he says twice in Pei Hei and Pei Vav. But the ksos in Pei Hei is where he says, this is why I understand Tosfos Kasha. But the yesod he references in Pei Vav. What exactly is nischadesh in Shibud Rav Nasan? And the way he begins in Siman Pei Vav, again, I don't know if you guys have this particular page, but it's the first piece in Pei Vav. And then I gave you a few paragraphs later when he gives his mahalach. So we'll start with that and we'll go back maybe to Pei Hei after that. So Siman Pei Vav in Shulchan Aruch, again, is the Siman of Shibud Rav Nasan. By the way, but the Ksosos Machadesh, many disagree with this. The Nesivis and others who are Magian Ksos, it's far from simple. The Stipler has a Ritva that seems to support the Sod of the Ksos, but he has kashas from other Rishonim. So it's far from simple, both in terms of Achronim and Rishonim. What the Ksos is saying is mamish pshat. And it could be that what the Stipler ends up saying is a hybrid model. Maybe it's not exactly perfectly what the Ksos says. Let me present first outside. What's the Chakira here? Let me give you the Chakira outside, then we'll look at the Ksos inside for the Nafkaminas. Basically, the question one could ask is, Rav Nasan has a pasuk. Pasuk in Parashas, Nasan. The Nasan Rasha Asham Ra. What's the context of the pasuk? What's the context of that pasuk? Asham Gezelos, person denies money that someone's told him money and he says he doesn't owe. He swears falsely. He's molded afterwards that he swore falsely, so he has to pay a Karen plus a chomesh and also bring a carbon Asham Gezelos. And then pasuk goes on, if there's no relatives, if the person died and there's no relatives, it's a ger. So then it goes to the Kohanim. That's the special din of Gezel HaGer, that one of the Matnas Kahuna. That's why the Torah emphasizes again that din. Without the Xeros HaKasu of Nasan Rasha Asham Ro that he gives to the person who the original Malva, not his Malva, but the Malva's Malva. So I wouldn't know that Motsim is Avnosan Lazan. I wouldn't know that Reuven, who ran Shimon, could collect from Levi, who is the Lover of Shimon. I wouldn't know. The question is, why not? Why not? After all, and the Ksos presents the Kasha in the following way, the beginning of Pei Vav. Pei Vav is the din of Reuven Nosa B'Shimon, B'Shimon B'Levi, Motsim M'Levi V'Nosim L'Reuven. Says the Ksos, that is the din of Shibud Rav Nasan, quoted many times in Shas. Learned out of the Pasuk Asher Asham Lo. It's Tzarech L'Das K'ra Lama. Again, this is the first Sifka Nala for Pei Vav, the Ksos. K'ra Lama. V'chilo yadina, the kol asher yesh l'lover, hein babayis, hein basade, hakol meshubed l'malve. Don't we all know? He's using the word shibud. Okay, maybe it's loose. Maybe it's loosely used. Maybe it's literal. That goes back to our question. But basically, whatever the lover has in terms of assets, whether it's in his home, whether it's out in the field, all of that, the Malva has a right to collect from. The Imken, Kishyagiyaz Manpiron, when that due date arrives, that Levi owes Shimon money, Vade Torah from Malva. So what is he saying? What do you need a Chiddush of Avnasin and a Feshut Zeres HaKasim? Reuven has a claim on Shimon, yeah? Shimon has assets. If you want to make a list of Shimon's assets, what would be included, naturally? Whatever debts are owed to Shimon, if Levi owes Shimon money, so that should also be collectible by Reuven. Simple as that. You need a new Xeris HaKasuf of Shibud Rav Nasan. Isn't it obvious? In other words, the normal way, the first way you want to approach Shibud Rav Nasan is to assume that what happens is Reuven is collecting for what Shimon owes him because he goes to Levi, which who owes Shimon, and part of his collection of Shimon, he gets a shibud on that which there is a shibud to Shimon. The shibud, the Shimon is over Levi, so Reuven has a shibud on that. The same way Reuven has a shibud on the nechasim of Shimon. Let's assume the Talton is owed shibud also. So the nechasim of Shimon is shibud to Reuven. So what gets included in the quote within the expanded list of things that are meshubad to Reuven, the shibud that Shimon has over Levi. So that shibud that Shimon has over Levi is meshubad to Reuven. Says Exosim, you need a pasuk for that. Who needs a pasuk? Why wouldn't it be? That's the point of departure here. Again, you can answer this question in a more limited fashion and stick with that assumption that effectively what happens here is Reuven is collecting his debt that Shimon owes him, and the Torah gives him license to go to Levi to do it. But essentially, the debt is owed to Reuven from Shimon, but there's some technical reason why you wouldn't otherwise know that Reuven could collect what Shimon owes him by going to Levi. That's when you exert the custom for. And these are technical ways of workarounds. And we'll see. The Rishonim asked the Kasha. So it's quotes from the Rajba in Kedushin. It's quoted in the Rajba in Kedushin, Tezvav. Some editions have it in the back, but they put it back in the Tezvav. It's also in the Ran, in Ksubis. Now, in those Ksosim that you have, I found a mistake because I was trying to find the Ran, and I realized it was not Dav Yud, it's Dav Vav. And I see in this edition of the Ksos, which is the new Shulchan Aruch, they actually have it corrected. They have Vav and Rav Dav Yerif. So if you want to look at that Ran, he's quoting, I think, again, the new Ksosim say Yud Amid Rav Dav Yerif. It's not Ksubis, the Ran in Ksubis, at the end of Ksubis, and Vav and Rav Dav Yerif. So they answer, for example, that no, shtaris, chobos that are milvah b'shtar are not automatically collectible, are not meshubed to a malva. Okay, so without shibud rav nasan, it wouldn't be so simple. Assets that are collectible do not include shtaris. Okay, so it's a technical barrier. Technically, what Levi owes Shimon has a chob with the shtar over Levi, that's not something that you normally would allow Reuven to collect from. Comes with a message, says, yeah, you can collect that too. Okay, so then basically what's happening is Reuven is collecting from Shimon the chov that Shimon has over Levi, but without exerus akasav, I wouldn't know that shtaris are collectible for Shiva. So says, but this is not all we're showing him hold. There are Rush and the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin. The shtaris can be mishtabed, the agav, if you're mishtabed, the shtar, the agav, it can be mishtabed. So you see, they are b'nei shibud, v'hadra kushet l'gift. Now, there is another thought that, again, one doesn't have to now, therefore, go 180 degrees and reconfigure what's happening in Shibud Rav Nasan. You can still assume, more or less, that what's happening is Reuven is collecting from Shimon what Shimon owes him, in the form of going to Levi, who owes Shimon money. I, who needs a pasuk, so the Mashal already gave us the answer, but the Rashba says it too, because really, he should be able to do it, but there's a problem, because when he knocks on Levi's door, what can Levi tell Reuven without the pasuk of Shibud Rav Nasan? Lav, Baal, Dvarim Didiyat. In other words, you, I don't recognize you, I don't deal with you. I borrowed from Shimon. So you, Reuven, you can't come in and take from me what Shimon owes you. So basically, what Shibud Rav Nasan, that doesn't mean the Xeris of custom now changes the whole configuration. Exos wants to say, his Pshat, he wants to put it into this answer. Why not? Because Exos is going to run with this idea that Shimon is out of the picture. Reuven is collecting what Levi owes Shimon because that's part of what he can collect from Shimon. But how does it get into the door? How does it get to Levi to collect it? So it's like the Torah allows Reuven to collect Shimon's debt. I mean, Levi's debt to Shimon, Reuven allows him to do it. But basically, Reuven is collecting what Shimon owes him. Okay. And Levi can't tell him, go away, I'm not dealing with you. Reuven can be the one to do it. But really, it's Reuven collecting what Shimon owes him. But the Ksos, because of this question, runs with an idea that he has numerous nafkaminas, and we'll try to lay out those nafkaminas, some of which are more mechudish than the others, some of which we can maybe be able to accept more readily than others. But the assumption that the Ksos is going to run with, and again, this is what we could have gotten from the beginning of the Mashah, but without any elaboration, is that what the Torah has effectively done with Shibud Rav Nasan is created a direct line between Reuven and Levi, and taking Shimon out of the picture. And for that, we need Xeris HaKasi. What are the implications of that? One by one, what are the nafkaminas? Of course, ultimately, how is it going to help us in our Tosis? Because there's no Matad Yashmi. Because once you say that the Chasim, the Metaltilin, are Meshubah directly to the Bachov of the Father, so then it never was, the Yisrael might have collected it, but it's unjustified. They never had a right to collect it. They're out of the picture, Father's out of the picture. And then the Chasim are directly Meshubah to the Bachov of the Father. And therefore, Tosis Kasha is totally perfect. That's the big benefit of learning like Excels, because then Tosis Kasha is beautiful. What happens in the Teretz is another issue, but the Kasha is perfect. Okay, that's the big benefit in terms of Tosis. So let's go back and see what some of the nafkaminas are that Excel spells out here, and then back in some of Tehe. So in Tevav, again, we'll start from the Luchay Nira, right? I think you could have paragraph. Luchay Nira. So here's nafkamin number one. And we mentioned this yesterday when we introduced Yibud HaDrav Nassin in terms of sequence. Okay, what do we call it when somebody incurs a debt, but he has assets that haven't been purchased yet? I mean, he'll purchase those assets subsequently. In other words, right now he has X amount of assets, X amount of karka. So that's obviously Meshubit. Shibut, the Shibut is, right, it's about whatever. It's Meshubit to the Malveh, because right now the Malveh is lending the money. Hashib Shat, if he hasn't got it yet, it's not Meshubah. There is a mechanism called Di'ikni. Right? We have that in the Lashon HaKesuva, right? The chasim that the Asra Nola Mikni, the chasim that I will purchase, a person can pledge at the time that I even going to Mishabed the chasim that I haven't yet acquired. That din of Di'ikni has to be stipulated, and it may only work with Rabbanah, with the Raisa, even if Shibud will be the Raisa, but not on Shibud, on the chasim they don't have yet. What happens in Shibud Rav Nassim? So we mentioned right from the Shulchan Aruch how it's brought, even though the Arishon and Taka would disagree, which obviously shows you how they are this to Shibud Rav Nassim. The Arishonim who say that the only time that Reuben collects from Levi is that when Reuben lent Shimon, there was already prior to that the loan extended from Shimon to Levi. So then what Reuben assumed at the time that he lent Shimon money was all the assets of Shimon at that moment in time, frees the frame, and already then Levi owed Shimon. But the halacha is not that like those we've shown, right? So those we've shown clearly are in the camp that Shibud Rav Nassim means I get a Shibud on what you have at the time of the halva. But the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, as stated in the beginning of Tevav, Ruben Shinosha Mana Vishimon, Vishimon Belevi, Motzim Belevi Nosam Leruben, Lo Shna, in this Chayev Lo Kfar Leshimon, Vishasha Lava Meruben. If Levi already was obligated to pay Shimon when Shimon borrowed from Reuben, so there already was existing the Shibud from Levi to Shimon. Lo shnan is chayev lo achakach. Meaning Reuben extends a loan to Shimon, and only after that Shimon lends Levi, still allows Reuben to go directly to Levi. So why is that true? Why is it true that Reuben can collect from Levi even though the loan from Shimon to Levi didn't happen yet? What assets become Meshubed to Reuben at Tam Dahava, the assets that he had already? But he didn't have that debt yet. He didn't have that claim over Levi yet. The Nira, the Pasuk is needed. Hecha Shachov Nasa Achar Halva. Umin HaTorah lo mishtabed el nechasim shahayu lo b'shas halva. K'ma shakasa b'simen kuf yudbeisiv kan aleph. D'lo amrinan nechsoi debar inish inan areven. That's the expression that we saw in the Rashi b'metziah. It's the Gemara at the end of Baba Basra. That a person's nechasim are considered to be guarantors. Ela ba'osim nechasim shahayu b'eis halva. Right? The chasim that he had already. Va'afiu kasav lo di'ikni. What's di'ikni? Chasim that I will acquire. Lo mani min ha-Torah. The Shibud v'kinyan shavim min ha-Torah. Lo mani, you have to be what you have right now. You can make a kinyan what you have now. Shibud is what you have right now. The imkain. Mitorah shibud lo havi mahani. In other words, Shibudim de Rabnasim can't operate through the prism of how I ask the kasha. Whatever the lover has, b'bayis b'asad, it's meshubit to his malva. So if the lover has assets that include that debt that's outstanding to him, that should be naturally meshubit. But no, it's not there yet. So if it's mitoras shibud rabbi mahani, avo b'shibud de Rabnasim nahani afilu achov acha alva k'moshi kasav k'moshtati b'shem peheisim kanhei ayin. Okay, so that's the first step. But now the so it's going to take it to a dramatic new level. Listen to this. What the so is about to tell us, you really have to take a very deep breath for this. Who becomes effectively the malva of Levi? We would naturally assume, without, you know, even with Shibud Rav Nassim, but who does Levi owe money to? The Shimon. Okay, Reuben has a right to collect as far as part of his cashing in on that which Shimon owes him. He can go to Levi. But who is the malva of Levi? Shimon? But the Ksos is now going to say is a transformation. No, it's Ki'ilu, the malva of Levi has become Reuben. To the extent that if Shimon, the middle person, will pay Reuben, it won't change anything. Now, typically, if there's a shibud that someone has on the chasim of his lova, the lova always has the option of doing what? To prevent the shibud from being cashed in on. What can the lova always do? Pay. That's called a salik bezuzi. That's why Rabbi says it's only kind of a habo gova, because the option is misalik bezuzi. If the reason why Reuben can collect from Levi is as part of the definition of his shibud on Shimon, what should Shimon always have the option of doing to prevent Reuben to go to Levi? What can Shimon do? He can pay. Salik bezuzi. What the Ksos is now saying, grab your head around this, is that Shimon can't misalik Reuben bezuzi. He's so out of the picture. Now, why is that tremendous chiddush? Because l'chori, even if you tell me Shimon's out of the picture, but the koach of Reuben to collect against Levi still derives from the fact that he extended a loan to Shimon. So nice if Shimon paid, like, by virtue of what can Reuben, I mean, I understand now we can reconfigure and view it as Reuben can collect from Levi. But to the extent that Shimon can't pay anymore, that's what Ksos is about to say. Moreover, the Ksos is going to now say as follows. A person who has a shibud, so what does Rava say? It's not l'mafeil gova, so while he has a shibud, he can't be mocher, he can't be magdish, a shibud, right? It's not l'mafeil gova. But if I have a chov of somebody, so we had the Rashi about this, then it's conceivable that you can be mocher or magdish a chov. Rashi allows for that. A chov itself, you can be mocher, the chov, shtar chov, mocher, shtar chov, shtar, so you can magdish a chov, we saw the Rashi. Can Reuven make a transaction on the chov that Levi owes him? Does Levi owe Reuven? Well, if Levi owes Shimon and Reuven just has a right to collect, the fact that Shimon owes him allows him to collect from Levi. So what does he have, sof kol sof, over Levi? The shibud that he has over Shimon extends to that which Levi owes Shimon. But that wouldn't give Reuven any ability to transfer that over, because the shibud doesn't allow you to be mocher magdish according to Rav. It's only mikano habo gova. But the Ksos is about to tell us that Reuven now has a chov of a Levi. If you can be mocher a chov, you can sell that chov that you have of a Levi. The Torah magically created ki'ilu, the lova is Levi, and the malva became Reuven. Look inside this receipt inside, then we'll take the Irish question. V'od nir v'hu ha'ikar etzleinu. He's really sure of this. The ilu habi b'torah shibud. If that which Reuben collects from Levi is just the Torah Shibud, Wahabi Ella Kimoshar Nechasim HaMeshubadim, like all other Nechasim Meshubadim, the Matzi HaLova Lesuke Bezuzi. So why do I have that Shibud? Because there's a chov that I have over this person. So Reuben has a chov of a Shimon, which allows him to collect from Levi. So Shimon can still pay the chov, and then the Shibud is gone. Right? And that's another point. The Shibud is only Mekan. But Now, two things are going to change with Shibud Rav Nassin. Ava, betorah Shibud Rav Nassin, harei hu ki'ilu hamalve shel halove hu hil velo. Just fill in the pronouns here. Hamalve shel halove, what does he mean here? Ruvain, who's the malva of Shimon, who's a love, who hil velo, he extended the loan to who? To Levi, you with me? Yeah. The Hamalva Harishon, who's Malva Rishon? Ruvain, Yachol Limkor. What can he sell? He can sell the chob that Levi owes him. Yeah. It's only, if that which he has over Levi is the shibud he has over Shimon, which extends to going to the debt that Levi owes Shimon, he couldn't sell that chob. His chob is the chob that Shimon owes him. But what I have in terms of collection of that chob is called a shibud. According to Rava, if Mikano Abba who gove, so do you have a right to sell your shibud? It's nothing. It's not going to be chal. You can't sell. He's assuming you can't sell the shibud. Truth is, we discussed this in terms of selling the karka, but the closest assuming you can't sell. But the point is, you have this chol. You can sell it. The shalom mamish. The Alpha God, the Zabin Mal Velo Mahani, and he's assuming that means he's selling the Shibut. It goes back to what we discussed about what that means, Zabin Mal. But he says, Kidamin Perakoshad, Mikana Habo Gova, Hainu Hecha de Babatora Shibut. Ava Bishibud Rav Nassin had Torah Amra, the Nassin Rasha Hashem Lo, the Hu Ha Malve Ha Amiti. Who's the true Malve here? Of Levi? Ruvain. Zafilu wrote Salove, meaning Shimon, the Suki Bezuzi, and Yachel, the Hua Malve Amiti, Kamash Kasati, and Simon Pehe. Go back to the side with Varela, the Biashach, the Imkain, Vada Iko Nafkusa Tuva. The Kasha was, what do you need to do? Chidush of Shibud Rav Nassin from the Torah, let it be Bitoras Shibud. No, big enough Kamina, the Imhaya Bitoras Shibud, having much of the Suki Bezuzi, number one. The law Yachol Mochrok with Rav Nassin Havi Shalom Mamish the Isi the Mechira and Yachol Salka Bezuz. So that's quite a big leap the Ksos is going. But there's one more leap that the Ksos spells out here, and then others that I mentioned earlier. The next paragraph goes to the heart of the Makor itself. Now think about the file. We'll do it outside and inside. What is the story in the Chumash? Nassin Hashem Lo. What happened? A person denied that he owes money to the person who was tovei him. Then he swore and agreed. He was motivated that his swore was shekel. Now he has to pay keren chomesh to the person he owes the money to. And there is a cause nothing like Hashem lo to the original malva. It says it so like this. Levi was taken to Beis Din, let's say by Shimon, who lent the money to Levi. You owe me money. I lent you money. Levi denies to Shimon that he owes Shimon money. Swears under oath, falsely. Now he's Moda. Now he has to pay the Nasan, the Karen, and the Chomesh, Lasher Hashem Lo. Now think about this. Reuven gave a mana to Shimon. That's the amount of money. Shimon gave a mana to Levi. Levi denies to Shimon that he ever borrowed the mana. Now he swears and he admits. Now he has to pay a mana plus a surcharge. The 25%, I think, is what it is, Chomesh. So it's now going to go to who? The Chomesh. L'asher Hashem lo, to who? Whose money was he denying? Now, Reuven only got the mana. And Reuven ends up getting a windfall of an extra Chomesh when Levi swore falsely and admitted to the claim that Shimon made to him about the money that Shimon lent him, just inside first. That's what the Ksos is saying. Because whose money did he deny? Reuven's money. And Shimon was just, as long as Shimon was a legitimate proxy to the Mashbia him, that connects to the Gemara Bava Kama he mentions, as long as you can count that tviya as a valid tviya against Levi, so Shimon was the one who took him to court and asked him to swear. But whose money was he denying that requires him to pay a chomesh? It's Reuven's money. And that's because the source of the Gzeras HaKasav is in the parasha of Karen V'Chomesh. The Nasan Asher Asham Lo. So it's mamish, a perfect illustration of how far the source is taken. V'nira, the Hadar Kasva Torah, parashas Naso, V'eshiv es Hashem Abrosho, V'chamishiso Yosef Allah. So the Torah speaks about the Karen and then the Chomesh. The Nasan Asher Asham Lo, the Hainu. In Kiches B'Pikadno B'Sumes Yad, these are the various types of monies that he denies that he owes. The Heshiva Sashama Barosho. Give it that means the Karen. The Gam Chamishiso Yosef. The Nasan goes on what? The Nasan gives what? Both. Both aforementioned things. The Karen and the Chomesh. The Nasan, he gives both. La Asher Asham Lo. La Misha Karen Shalom. That's the drush. So he's giving Karen the Chomesh to who? To the Malvus Malvus. The Kfiraso. Whose money was he kofer? The Malva Amiti. He's using that lesson. The Imkena Chomesh Yutanlo. The one who was Tavea wasn't Ruvain. No, that's okay. We find the concept. You can have a proxy doing the Tzviya. Bezeh Shetovo, meaning the Tzviya was, the claim was Shimon coming to him. En El Kimo Baba Harsha. You can have a proxy. You can have a person who's a Morsha who's authorized to represent the other person's claim. That's a Gemara that he quotes. You can see that you can have the Tviya being on behalf of the person who's really the Balam Mamon. Someone else is the one that actually takes him and is Tobeya. And that's as long as the Shomer really didn't steal it. And he's the one who tells the Ganef, you know, did you steal the money? And he denies it. So even though it wasn't the Balam, but he's denying the money of the Bailim, but the Tzviya came from the Shomer. As long as the Shomer wasn't a liar, because he wasn't the real Ganef, so then the person who ends up swearing would have to pay the what to the Bailim. So that's the same thing as over here. Shimon was Tovea, but really the money, the Karen and the Chumash, goes back to Reuven. Umizem Muchach, the Guf HaChov Shayach Lo. To say the Chumash goes to Reuven, obviously is to say that Reuven got the whole Chov. The Enu El Hashibud. Because if all Reuben has here is a shibud on that which is old Shimon, what does Reuben have to get the chomesh that's coming to Shimon? He denied money that he owed Shimon, and the Torah says he pays a surcharge of chomesh. How can Reuben come away with that chomesh? So he must be, he's reading it to the pasuk, El Mishim Da Torah Amra, the Kol HaChov L'Malva. The chov is the malvus, not just that he has a shibud. The imkink firas mama didehu umishamachi chamishi so yosef benasam lasha'asham lo. The lo tema the chov ala kemo akaren v'chomesh ela chov lo hayirak kineged akaren filachem chomesh yutan the chov didehu didehu the kafar de tviyaser shazev zay yearly b'divrei Rashi. Okay, fine. Goes on with the Yukon Rashi and Rashi. V'ad misha karen yutan achomesh. He wants to read into Rashi and Rashi. That Karen and the Chomish go Misha Karen Shalom, then Ken Muchach, he says at the end, the Chobo Shaloba Diday, the Malta who Gami Dibito has Shibit, anyway, El Mikanalaba, but Engel Bachomish. Shemach and Nicha, the Kasva Torah, the end of the Shimonasim, Gabi Kichish, Bamis, and Majin Tabunach. So the Xos back in Pehei is going to also use this to work out Shat and Tosis Kash. Questions from at least two people. Yeah, Noach, maybe three. No, two. Back to two, yeah. All right.
Not to confuse anybody, but doesn't this get a lot more complicated when there's, let's say, two people stole from him, or there are two people who he used as malbet, and which one is the one who's considered, let's say there's two people, let's say we see a situation where two people stole from the middle guy. Now, which one of those people is the original malbet considered to have the vote for? Or let's say there are two malbet.
Okay, so they divided them stomach. I mean, in other words,
there's two malbet and one person who stole it, then you're going to argue about who gets the carrot.
I mean, yeah. I mean, who says we're talking about stealing? We're not talking about stealing. We're talking about the person who denies money. No, the shvur just means that he took alvah and he denies that he took alvah, or he owed money to his worker, or he stole. Whatever those cases in the Torah, that person swears. We're talking about not talking about.
Okay, so same
thing. The point is, he swears.
Who's he paying the carry to? Which one of the two malvah?
No, so the malvah of the malvah. That's the point.
There are two malvahs of the malvah. He borrowed 100 from two different people.
What do you mean, two different people? He borrowed, he borrowed from one, that person borrowed from the other. No, the
perhaps you just need another case. Where
another case.
Would be difficult to respond.
How would you borrow from two people?
This one person can only give you $100 and you $200 for your business transaction. Uh-huh.
No, but either way, one person's tabea, his chelik of the hava, so then it's only to each. You know, the steps there. You don't have two people eat tabea at the same time. Each one is tabea, what he gave. It's a separate transaction. I don't think it's a merged transaction. Each one becomes its own hava.
And we'll find out that the guy denied the money, and so now they're both
it's usually typically one person who's tabea. I don't know exactly if you have such a case like we're saying. Okay, but it's complicated. Okay. Pashtus, we talk about one tabea, one malva. What would be in two cases?
It's difficult to say that he owns it, even the karen, when, you know, in simple cases.
Can you have a case of two malvas that jointly have a halva?
No, I'm not saying jointly. Each have their own halva over in the middle.
Okay. So the chomesh, the denial, I think the denial of the conglomerate, of the total amount of money. So how does the chomesh get divided, if you ask them?
No, I don't know if my question.
I'm sorry, I don't get your
question. A case of where one guy borrows money from two different people, and then he lended money to another guy. So that original, now, which so one the of the two malvas is case where he
owned the okay. So what would Shabbat Rasim mean? This is separate from the Xos, just in general. What would Shabbat Rasim mean in terms of, forget about the Hakira. I mean, it's not really totally not Hakira. Our Hakira is the Malva getting a Shibud on that which the person owes him, because included in that which he has a claim on his Lova is the Lova of that person. Or is it a direct thing? But that's, your issue is not totally not Hakira.
It's more complicated when the water gets carried.
Yeah, okay. But in the Hanami. But basically, that's... You could be asking this in general also. There's a couple more nafkaminas to think about with this possibility that Solis Yaakov first, yeah.
Why is the Joseph understanding that very awesome? Why should Reuben sell the Shiva if Levi's son is using
it? So let's talk about it right now. Let's talk about that's where we're going. Let me give you another nafkamina or two. Mommy, you're talking, okay. You're talking about Shimon. Until now, we talk about who being Mesal Bezuzi, Shimon to Reuben. So let's talk about this right now. Let's talk about this case. What about Levi paying Shimon? What are the implications of that according to Exos? What will you say now? Okay, you hear the case? Reuben lent Shimon lent Levi, whatever order. The Torah says, Shibud Rav Nasan allows Reuben to go to Shimon to collect what Shimon owes Reuven, and the lumbus according to the Xos is that Reuven becomes the Malva Ki'ilu of Levi, right? And without the Xos's lumbus, what would it mean? That Reuven's claim over Shimon allows him to even go to those assets, which would include the money that Levi owes Shimon. That outstanding debt is collectible by Reuven for that debt that Shimon owes Reuven, right? That's the classic understanding. And the Xos's mapecha is that no, Reuven becomes the Malva of Levi, right? So the Xos gave these so far these nafkaminas that we just discussed. If Shimon from the South Bezuze, if Reuven can be Mocha the Chov, who the Chomish goes to. Now another one or two possible nafkaminas here. And also the order of which Chov came first. Good. Now, what about if Levi, right, the Lova of Shimon, pays Shimon? How does that affect the claim that Reuven has that would have allowed him to go to Levi? But now Levi paid Shimon. So what do you think? What would you say? What? Okay. Why? Why does he have to pay to Reuven? The Reuven's a real malva. So what he paid? It's like he paid a foreigner, paid a stranger, right? So he paid a stranger. So the disciple says, but that's not the way it sounds in the Tosfos in Tshuva Sarash. He has to pay Reuven, but for a different reason. And Exos, according to Exos, it should be as simple as what you just said. See, the Stipe writes like this. The emes is that there is a ritva that sounds like Exos. The ritva he quotes in Ksubas Yutef, one of the places it mentions Twitter of Nassim. Let me start with that, and then we'll get to the case we just gave. Here's another nafkamina. Let's bring this nafka in as well, and then I'll tell you where it goes with Tshuva Sarash. The halacha is Mochesh Tarchova Chaveiro, Bechaza Umachlo Machu. Somebody sells a chol that he has with a star, someone else, and after he does it, he's mochel the debt. So he's basically effectively ruined the chol, and the person who bought the chol through the star chol isn't out of luck, because he's still not out of the picture. What will be over here? If Shimon will be mochel the chol that Levi owes him. Can Reuven still collect from Levi? So two cases hanging in the balance here on the table. Okay. Number one, I just started with, if Levi pays Shimon, what does that do to Reuven's ability to collect from Levi? One case. And I'll give you another example. If Shimon is mochel the chol to Levi. So the first case was Levi paid Shimon. The other case is Shimon pardoned Levi from paying the chol. Okay, so what do you say? Now answer that question. So can that, would that matter? Yeah?
Do you say that Reuven's a...
if Reuven's collecting what?
Hamidi, then Shimon...
Shimon being mochel the chol. So again, when... Right, so exactly. So even though by mochel shtar chol v'chaveiro, if I have a chol, the shtar over someone, and I sell it, it doesn't prevent me from being a spoiler and be mochel the chol afterwards, and my lokeach nebuch is... It could be that there's a basis for a taina gami. Maybe if I do that, I have some liability based on some indirect hezek I caused. But fundamentally, the chol of that is over. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins here in Siman Tevav. To pay, Ein Shimon, again, we know who Shimon is, the middle person, Ein Shimon yachol limchol levi. Sha'arei paka hashibud, sheyesh l'shimon alevi. So Lashna Shulchan Aruch here, it sounds somewhat supportive of Ixos, right? He says, the Lashon is, Shimon can be mochel the chov to levi, sha'arei paka hashibud, sheyesh l'shimon alevi, v'nishtabi l'rubei. Now, does it mean mamish the way the Ksos says it? That's what we have to think about. But halachically, the Shulchan Aruch says, paka hashibud, Shimon can be mochel. That's the case of Mechila. Now, what about the case of Levi paying? So that's continuing in the same sif. This is from a Tshuva Sarash. In Achash and Eschayev Levi LeRuven BeBeisdin, Halachu Par LeShimon, Chayev LeFor Ruven Pamacheres. This is what you just said. Sounds, so far it sounds exactly like the Ksos, but now we have to know what the reason is. See, both cases are mentioned in the same Sif and Shulchan Aruch, Sif Hei. Again, number one, if Shimon is Mochel, it's not going to help. Ruven can still collect from Levi, Paka Hashibot Shishu Shimon HaLevi, it can be Mochel. Then he says, in Achash and Eschayev Levi LeRuven BeBeisdin, because of Shkud of Nassim, now Holach Upar LeShimon, Chayev LeFor Ruven Pamacheres. Let's decide as follows. L'maisa, the Ritva says, this case, even a Moch Eshtachol B'chaveiro B'chazo Machu O'machu, says the Ritva, Mikom B'Shibud Rav Nassim Lo Mahani Mechila. Which is that we just brought in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ritva explains, as quoted by a stipler, Shem de Medina de Rav Nassin, Nechshav ki'ilu chayiv hashlishi l'rishon chiyiv haguf, ulkach l'mafi sheni l'mcho. It's not just in the chasim, it's like he's mechoyiv shibud haguf. Because otherwise, he says, if it's just about the nechashim, you don't need a new chidush of shibud avnasin. Ko asher l'sheni m'shubud l'rishon. It's the kasha that Ksos got started with. So the Ritva sounds mamish an echo of the Ksos, although he came first. But it sounds very much that's the Ritva's Mahalach. The Chayin Ulash and the Shulchan Aruch, says the stipler, Ein Shimon Yochel Limchol Levi, V'lo Arbi Yochel Zman, Shari Paka Hashibut. Paka Hashibut. And that's the significance that Mechila doesn't work. The Chayin Herach HaKsos HaChoshen, that Chiv HaShkuf HaShkishi HaVilo Risha. But then he says the problem is, first of all, Tosas Teretz, back to our Tosas, we have to come back to. But then he says, I have a problem with Tshuva Sarash. Tshuva Sarash, Reish Kal Ayin Gimel, quoted in Shulchan Aruch in that same sif, and that's the second case. What's the second case? If Levi paid who? Shimon. Now, for the Ksos, why does he have to pay again? Because it's like he paid a stranger. But the mocker of this is a Tshuva Sarash. You know what the Tshuva Sarash says about that case? Yes, he has to pay again, but you know why? If the Shlishi pays the Sheni, if Levi pays Shimon, Chayev L'Sham L'Ruben, V'atam Evor B'Tshuva Sarash, Midin Mazik Shibudo Shel Chaveiro. What has Levi done? It's a basis of, it's a garmi type of a thing. If I am indirectly causing loss to somebody, we can force you to pay for the loss you caused in that indirect way. Certain types of things called garmi. One of those examples, Mazik Shibudo. Reuven had a right to collect from Levi. You, what you're doing by paying Shimon is you are preventing Reuven from collecting from Levi. Therefore, you owe damages to Reuven because of garmi. Mazik Shibudo Shachavero. In fact, the Steiper, if you're going to tell me that the Iker Chiv HaGuf of Levi is to who? Is to Reuven. Bipshuto, of course he has to pay Reuven. And nothing changed. Nothing happened when he paid Shimon. He gave money to some stranger. From the fact that Tshuva Sarash has to explain why Levi has to pay again, because in so doing, he has been mazik shibud shachavero. What does that suggest? Medina, that means that Nassim's halacha doesn't mean what the Ksos is saying, that it's a total transformation and Shimon is no shaychus here. No. It's that Reuven can collect the shibud from Levi that's owed to Shimon. That's his collection from Shimon when he goes to Levi, but not that it's Shimon is out of the picture. And therefore, the Stadler has to try to put it all together in his way with some kind of a hybrid model. That's his mahalach, but in your name, we may or not spell that out. But what I want to do, hopefully, for tomorrow is to come back to Tosis. Because after having all of this out there, now we step to win a Tosis and understand where's Tosis today in all of this. And as Tosis starts off, now with the big benefit, again, the Ksos and Pehe, is Tosis is very beautiful. The Kasha of Tosis is beautiful. What happened to Mitati Diasmi? I told you, I'm saying Pevav. It's not a problem because the Shibud was direct to the Balchov of Reuben, and therefore it's over. And Balchov of the Farthing Solomon. Therefore it's not, it never became Tal of the Yas. But then what's changing in the Teretz? Ksos doesn't really, he says something, it's not clear what the Teretz in Tosis would be. So that's where our work is going to be cut out in terms of trying to put it all back together in Tosis. But at least we have a perspective. You know, we didn't get to read the Ksos in Tehe, you can take a look at it. But these are the various nafkaminas from the Ksos. They have the Ikni nafkamina. We have the nafkamina of what? No, what do we say? If you can sell the chov, if you can sell the zuzay, right? And then the chomish goes to the original person. And then we have the din of mechila, which the Shohar Paskins, Paka HaShivud. And we have this case, which we have to know what the reason would be if Levi would pay Shimon. But the Ksos, it's as simple as that. He paid a foreigner. The Tshuva Sarash says it's based on Mazik Shuva Shachaveru. All right. Wonderful day, everybody.